It used to be a scuba diver. And one of the simplest things that I learned when I was a diver is that the things that you can know about the ocean from the surface are only a fraction of what there is to know about the ocean. You could be a sailor and live your whole life at sea. You could know every current and island and coastline. But if you never stick your head below the surface with a face mask on, you know very little of what there is to know about the ocean. And if you do stick your head down with a face mask on, you still know very little, but you'll know a bit more about how little you know. There's an awful lot of reality down there that you simply can't see without passing through the veil of the ocean's surface. In the reading that we heard from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, Paul said that discovering the glory of God is a lot like that. He says that it's as though we had a veil or a scarf over our faces, as though someone had pulled the wool over our eyes. And we can read the Bible all we like without ever seeing what the words are trying to reveal to us. We can read the Bible from cover to cover and still be like a sailor trying to know the ocean depths from the surface. The reality is there, we just can't see it. There's a whole lot of reality that you simply can't see without passing through the veil. This veil can take numerous forms, but very often it is actually something that is constructed by our religious traditions themselves. We have heard things presented in one particular way for so long that it is unimaginable to us that there could be any other way to think about it. And so we simply read everything through that lens, and we don't even notice the things underneath that don't fit or that could potentially challenge those views. Bumping into that kind of veil is part of the backdrop to the Transfiguration story that we heard tonight. There have been several examples earlier in the Gospel, and one of them we saw over the readings of the last couple of Sundays. The Israelite people of Jesus' day pretty much took it for granted that they were God's chosen people, and that that meant that everyone else, if not God's enemies, was at least considerably lower on the list of God's interests and priorities. God favours us and opposes our enemies. And if that is your bedrock assumption, then it is perfectly possible to read the whole of the Hebrew Bible and much of the New Testament without ever noticing the dissenting voices. But Jesus was a dissenting voice. And as we heard over the last couple of weeks, people didn't notice what he meant at first because the veil was so thick. But when he pushed hard enough to break through the veil and let them hear his message that God's love and care is for everyone, no exceptions, they were so shocked and incensed that they nearly killed him on the spot. And then there's another good example in the story that comes immediately before this account of the Transfiguration. And Luke means us to see a connection between these stories because when he introduces the Transfiguration one, he says, "Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter, John and James and they went on up the mountain." So a reminder of these sayings forms the introduction to this story. So what were these sayings? Well, they were the conversation where Jesus asked his disciples who people were saying he was and then who they thought he was. And Peter gives the answer, "You are the Messiah of God." And then Jesus responds to this by talking about how he's going to be rejected by the religious leaders and he's going to be tortured and killed at their hands, and anybody who wants to follow him must be similarly ready to be seen as losers and failures and dispensable in this world. Luke doesn't actually include the detail of Peter objecting and trying to persuade Jesus that he's got it all wrong, but Matthew and Mark do, and they also link that conversation directly with the Transfiguration story straight afterwards. And that detail of Peter's objection adds emphasis to what is actually apparent in all the versions. The disciples and everyone else thought that if God was going to send a Messiah, then that Messiah would be a powerful conqueror who could easily beat down any opposition, Jewish or Roman, and stand victorious over them all. A Messiah could never be seen to fail or lose or suffer disgrace or a dishonourable death. We had unquestioningly assumed, firstly, that God is all-powerful, and then naturally followed from that assumption that God's Messiah would crush God's enemies. And there we have a thick veil that hangs over all our reading and interpreting of the Bible and its traditions. And for us, just like for Peter and the disciples and the people of their day, if we read Jesus through that veil, interpreting who he is and what he says only through those assumptions, then those assumptions which we've never had cause to question, then it's perfectly possible to go, Jesus equals God's Messiah equals all-conquering hero. Paul says that we can't actually do anything much about this veil by ourselves. He says it is only in Christ that the veil is removed. It is only when Jesus becomes the lens through which you read your religious traditions, instead of the religious traditions being the lens through which you read Jesus. But for this to happen, you have to allow Jesus to intervene. You can't penetrate the surface of reality simply by trying harder. You need Jesus to remove the veil, to open your eyes, and to show you the depths of reality that are beyond the reach of ordinary eyesight. And when that happens, he says, you will see things that will begin to transform you. They will impact on you so dramatically that they will begin to reshape who you are, making you more and more like Christ. And this transformation will be so significant, it may even impact on the way you look. The transformation that is taking place in the core of your being can begin to show on your face. We sometimes talk of seeing somebody's face light up. Well, Paul describes it as being a bit like that, an ongoing progressive lighting up of the face. In the Gospel reading, we heard a description of the three disciples having an experience of the veil being pulled back so that they caught a glimpse of far more reality than they were used to seeing. Most of the time, they could see nothing more about Jesus than they could see about anyone else. He did and said some extraordinary things, but it was not obvious to everybody that he was anything more than another prophet or another outstanding spiritual teacher, and it was certainly not obvious that he was turning many of their religious assumptions on their head. In the story, Peter, James and John climb up a mountain with Jesus for a day's prayer retreat. And while Jesus was praying, his face lit up, and suddenly Peter, James and John were able to catch a glimpse of reality, of the depths of reality that lie beneath the surface. They see Jesus full of the glory of heaven. They see that he is in communion, in conversation even, with the great religious teachers and leaders of the past, like Moses and Elijah. They see that the presence of God, so often depicted throughout biblical history as an awesome cloud, they see that cloud enfold this man and declare him to be the chosen Son of God, one to whom they should give their attention even more than they would to Moses or Elijah. Now, none of this was not already true. They just couldn't see it before. They were like sailors bobbing around on the surface, but suddenly they were able to see through the surface into the depths. Suddenly the veil was pulled back and they could see a whole lot more reality than they had ever seen before. And then just as they were looking for ways to build something or nail something down or somehow make this experience more permanent, it was gone. Everything looked normal again. Everything looked normal, but now they knew. Now they knew that there were depths of reality within normal that don't normally meet the eye. Not only did everything look normal again, but Jesus immediately led them straight back down the mountain to resume what they normally did. And I suspect their reconnection with normal life was quite a slap in the face, because the very first thing they were confronted with was a spiritually tormented boy suffering from violent seizures, a horrendous situation of suffering into which they had already tried and failed to bring healing. Jesus successfully heals the boy, which may not have surprised the disciples as much as it astonished everybody else, because they had seen him do such things before. But I reckon that Peter, James and John, they saw it in quite a different light. Quite a different light to anything they'd seen before, because they had glimpsed the depths of the reality that made that possible. You and I will not often have experiences like those three had on the mountaintop, but then neither did they. But all of us who have offered ourselves to Christ are having the veil pulled back. We have various experiences, some big, most small, that enable us to see the depths of reality that we have not previously seen. We can't make it happen, but we can provide the circumstances that make it more likely that we will notice when they do happen. These three guys were on a prayer retreat, a time when they were disengaging for a short time from all the noise and activity and demands of normal life in order to open themselves to God. We can similarly take time for such retreats. We do it for a short time every week here in worship. We even acknowledge that as we do so in worship, that we are worshipping in the company of the likes of Moses and Elijah and all our mothers and fathers among the saints and the whole company of heaven. And we acknowledge that as we hold up bread and break it, that even in that loaf of bread, there is a whole lot more reality than normally meets the eye. Maybe occasionally some of you have even had the experience of the bread or maybe an icon or a person in the congregation seemingly light up as we worshipped. A whole lot more reality suddenly meeting your eye. Maybe it's never been that tangible for you, but you can perhaps still notice that over a period of time the veil has been pulled back and you're seeing life through increasingly opened eyes. Whether it happens for you here in worship, or away on a retreat, or just spontaneously, completely out of the blue, the next step is always the same. Jesus leads you back down the mountain to reconnect with the activities and demands of normal life with all its pain and struggle. But normal life with all its pain and struggle will never look quite the same as it did before. And you will re-enter the life of service and mission with a new vision of what it is all about. Christ is pulling back the veil from our eyes, and every glimpse of the depths of reality, of the depths of God, every glimpse becomes a new piece in the vision that sustains us and transfigures us and makes us more and more into what we were created to be and what we are destined to be, the glorious body of Christ. Amen. Amen.